This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. So anyway, we got a lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Make sure you visit our website, a21r.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com and newcaliforniastate.com sister, ncs51.com. That's ncs51.com. That's the other website that's coming up. It's the speedier, faster website, guaranteed to get you everything you need to know about New California. Okay, so New California has now got another competitor. The CalExit thing has risen its ugly head. And, of course, this is the secessionist movement. We all said this was going to come back to haunt us. And the one person who has really been keeping this out in the headlines is Dave Hodges, who now joins us. And Dave, how right have you been for all these months about the CalExit movement? It's risen its head. Just on Friday, it filed for status to become a proposition on the upcoming ballot in 2020. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not surprised in the least. And when you go to the trouble of opening an embassy in Moscow, and I published the photos on the commonsenseshow.com, you knew they weren't going to go away. When Eric Holder is the spokesperson, you know they're not going to go away. When Loretta Lynchmob is doing legal work for them, you know they weren't going away. And it's a plan, and people don't know the details of this. It's not just California leaving the Union and becoming their own country. They plan to become a protectorate of the United Nations.
Shocking. And, you know, you got to mention a few other names. You've got both the Podesta folks involved. Of course, they own property out here in California. And you know, another one that's been cited in the area is John Brennan in Northern California. Shocking. How about that one? John Brennan. I wonder what he's skulking around about.
he's looking for his long-lost Jesuit friends that are behind this.
And, you know, the other thing, too, is Barack Hussein Obama down at Chapman University and his good buddy down there, Peter McLaren, Dr. Peter McLaren, who runs this Marxist organization out of Chapman University, which suddenly has become a Marxist institute in and of itself, shockingly. My old alma mater, one of them, anyway.
That's right. You did go to Chapman. Did any of that rub off on you? Did that social justice philosophy catch hold of you, Paul?
No. It was an enormously conservative institute up until they got this Doty, after Doty left, who, by the way, was a fantastic chairman and president of Chapman University. But they've got this other guy who came from Rome, shockingly enough. An Italian mathematician. Rome? I wonder what connection he might have to the Pope.
Well, he's in Rome. They probably have tea together.
They might.
And I'm sure he gets to ride around in the Pope mobile.
The Pope mobile, right? That little Fiat or whatever it is. That little white car. You know. But the other thing too is that Chapman University has been the training center for Ocasio-Cortez. A woman by the name of Betty Valencia took her under her wings. And, of course, the other three of the Magnificent Four that they talk about also received extensive training at Chapman University.
Are you talking about the gang? Like
the gang, right.
Omar? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the gang.
And the gang really is very close to Nancy Pelosi. They, you know, the gang traveled with Nancy Pelosi to do some vacationing in Italy, of all places, in Rome. In Venice. And, you know Paul, El Chapo's wife showed up. What?
Oh.
You know El Chapo. Yeah. El Chapo's wife showed up. Shockingly.
Did they take a cocaine break?
I don't know, but I do know that Peña, the president, former president of Mexico, was in Barcelona, Spain at the same time, and he just apparently hopped on a jet and flew right over to Rome to meet with him, or Venice.
Isn't that ironic? Because on the commonsenseshow.com, I have published photos of Nancy Pelosi and Beto, I want to legalize all drugs, O'Rourke, along with Peña and Nieto. And oh my gosh, all these people that took $100 million payoffs from the Sinaloas to leave their drug trafficking alone, Nancy Pelosi is cohorting with these people.
I think it's cavorting.
No, but cohorting.
I know.
I'm making up a new term now.
No, she's working in a cohort. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Nancy Pelosi, let me ask you this. What does she stand to gain by the separation of California from the United States?
Well, everything. She and the cartels and all the aligned organizations to Nancy Pelosi, everything. And, of course, that's the key thing, is that she's got the cartels and other people have China backing them, of course, the CHICOMs.
So what will happen to the military bases if that happens, Paul?
Probably seized by the Chinese military.
Wow. There would be quite a fight here in California, wouldn't there?
It would be a bloodbath.
And they're going forward with this.
Absolutely, they are.
You know, I have California news for you, too, that involves Newsom and his lieutenant governor. Did you know, I bet you do know this, because there's not much that gets by you in California, but I'm sure you know that Newsom and his lieutenant governor and their businesses received paycheck protection stimulus money.
Shocking. Plump check.
Yeah,
the winery that was organized by Gordon Getty and Nancy Pelosi.
And the winery that's still open amidst all the others that have been ordered to be closed down.
Wow. I didn't know the governor had such control and power over the state like that. But maybe we should find out if the dictator does.
Which dictator would that be?
Oh, the governor.
Oh, well, yes, of course, that goes without saying. I know, but you have to understand, he's running a communist regime, so this is all respectable. I got to tell you, though, the guy is not very good at commanding his body language. You can tell when he's lying pretty easily. But the one thing he does do is he deflects pretty well the criticisms that come at him, like the Payroll Protection Act that his company is getting money for. Well, he handled that really well. He says, well, if you're qualified, anyone can apply. That includes governors and regular citizens.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting the way he does his press, pressers out there, his press conferences. They're all staged. There is no group of reporters out in front of him. He doesn't do that. He has a handler, a minder, who feeds the questions to him and who preps the people that are going to ask the questions. And all these people who are asking questions are non-aggressive people towards the governor. They're going to do whatever the governor wants. They of course, groom these people to ask the questions the way that they want it. And there's a lot of coaching back and forth between the people asking questions and, of course, then the governor. So it's all contrived. It's a totally contrived, controlled press environment. So there is no, you know, you don't get a Kayleigh McEnany there, you know. It just doesn't do that. And, of course, these free questions that pop up that Donald Trump has to answer, right, from Jim Acosta and the other folks. Gavin Newsom cannot handle that because it's probably a requirement for him to actually tell the truth to some of these questions.
Speaking of the president's press secretary, at the conclusion of her session yesterday with the press, she chastised them like no one else I've ever heard in that position for saying, you didn't ask one question about the 8-year-old girl that was killed in Atlanta in a blue Democratic city. You didn't ask about David Dorn. You didn't ask about all the shootings in Democratic cities.
Chicago.
And she goes, oh, yeah. She went off on these people, and I was stunned. Now, they tried to overtalk her, but she just kept on going.
Well, they were just so embarrassed and cowered into a corner. It was stunning. It was stunning, and they deserved it.
Well, Trump chose the right person because she takes no prisoners.
None. Zero. Zip. Nada. It's quite an amazing thing to watch her. She's a little skinny thing, you know, and for her to have such command of, I guess she's a lawyer. Shocking. A lawyer. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to have to do a little Google search on her and see what's going on with her, but she is sharp. She is absolutely sharp. He's had some pretty good press secretaries, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he had Mike Huckabee's daughter. She was awesome. Sarah was awesome. But this one is at the right level of confrontation because we're at that point in our country. And we are devolving into civil war, and the issues need to be called out like she's calling them out. But what's amazing to me is since I have been out here in California – I've tried to engage some people in conversation, and there's a couple of things that have stood out. My son even pointed this out yesterday, that people don't like Newsom. and so I asked the question, I said, well, then how the heck does he stay in office? And the answers that I'm getting are, well, because he's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
A Democrat.
Yeah.
That's a reason for staying in office.
Yeah. And they accept it. See, this is the problem that we have to overcome. You know, in New California, we're making progress. Or actually, we're getting a lot of traction. But when they say that he's a Democrat, they mean that there's nobody who can stand in the way of a Democrat. And, of course, that's true. When you control the electoral system in California, that's key. You know, see, this is a Marxist, Maoist, Leninist, you know, revolution here. This is why we are in communism here. Is because they are following some of the precepts of Lenin, which said that, hey, you can have, Republican forms of government and Democratic elections just as long as, you know, doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes.
Yeah,
and, of
exactly.
course, they've taken that to extremes here in California, and that's why the electoral system is always rigged, completely rigged, from the most minor elections to, you know, I'm talking about, if you're even talking about elections to a water board all the way up to governor, they're all totally controlled. So the candidates that they want in there, they put in there, and they always elect them in. And they're almost always Democrats. But, of course, the system in California has been so gamed over the years starting with the Orange County bankruptcy and the destruction of the Republican Party in 1995, all the way up until now, the Democrats have controlled both houses of the legislature, and we got a monoparty system. So what that meant was they had to eliminate the Republican form of government by a Republican Party and a Democratic Party and Libertarian Party. So they wiped those out over years. And now what we have is a monoparty system, but shockingly, as of the COVID virus on March 4th, what has happened is that California has reverted to a complete dictatorship, because when Governor Newsom signed the Emergency Powers Act, giving him full authority, he basically kicked out the legislature altogether. And by the way, this signing granted him full authority indefinitely with all powers to the executive without having to go through the legislature. So it effectively, what he's done is destroyed the three parties or the three branches of government and reduced it now to just two, judicial and executive. The legislature doesn't mean anything to anybody any longer. They're sort of the non-negotiable, non-working. Remember, our government is established on three co-equal powered branches of governments. They all have the same amount of power, and it's supposed to be sustained that way. That's what the founding fathers wanted. But not if you're a dictatorship, and not if you're devolving into communism. You eliminate the party system, then you eliminate those three branches of government, and you condense them into one dictatorship. And by the way, the judiciary, of course, is so partial to the governor. It's almost like it's just one branch now. So that's what we have. The Democrats are in charge, but it's really the totalitarians are in charge.
Yeah, but unfortunately, California's cancer has spread throughout Oregon, yes, Washington, and it's even coming to my home state in Arizona, where I predict that in 2 years, this year, we're going to have two Democratic senators out of Arizona, which I can't believe. And our governor is a Democrat in drag. He says he's a Republican, but yeah, he's not. He's on the board of TGen, which is tied into Bill Gates' vaccines. And he and other Republicans like Abbott are saying, well, we'll let you out of restrictions when a cure is ready. And you know what that cure is going to be? It's going to be Billy's vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. That's the cure. Why not? You know, shucks. I just got a text from one of our listeners. Kaylee McEnany graduated from Harvard Law School, top 1%.
Oh, no wonder she kicks their butt every day.
Every single day.
And on top of that, she's cute.
Yeah. Yep, she is.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Trump could have done any better. Harvard Law School, really? And she's not a liberal? How did she survive? Well, no. She's cute.
And she's cute. And she's Scottish. McEnany.
She is. But she takes no prisoners up there at all. I'd like to see her getting an exchange with Abbott. I've seen a couple minor skirmishes with him and McEnany, but I got to tell you, I'd like to see him just do a whole press conference together, just those two.
Yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it?
I would sell tickets for that. That'd be like an MMA fight. Ultimate, yeah, cage press journalism fighting. But here's the point, though. This cancer that we call the Bolsheviks now, which are really the Democrats by another name, it's spreading throughout the country. They're seizing positions of leadership and power, and it's scary. It's really scary. And I have to tell you, Paul, I think they're going to win. I think it's going to take a civil war to unroot this.
Well, it might, and then again, it might not. And what we have to do, of course, is really hone in on the election system, make it clean, and hope there's going to be some, I guess you'd say, interventions and prevent people from doing the things that they do with our own election system, or have been doing. And I know in California there's some movements afoot to try and make that happen. I know there's several lawsuits going on. I'm not too trusting of some of the lawyers involved in the lawsuits. I think maybe they play for the other team. You know, what better way to defend yourself than to attack yourself at the same time, right?
It's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that. A false flag in the courts.
Yeah, well, of course, that's what they specialize in. You know, these people they use that tactic all the time. It's basically Hegelian, but they use that tactic at all times to destroy both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party in California.
Well, you know, there's something that if I don't mention here before we run out of time, because as you know, I got to run at 45 in the hour, but it's what's coming to me from a gentleman named Sam Onnold, and it's spelled H-O-N-N-O-L-D, and his website is Gunslingers. If you just put Gunslingers into a search engine, you'll find it. And it's an up-and-coming website. It's not really well-traveled yet, but it will be. He was the guy who broke the story to me about the attempted assassination by the cartels on behalf of the CHICOMs to kill the Mexico City chief of police, who's a big ally of AMLO, the leader.
Yep.
And they failed. They wounded him three times. Man, it's a good thing he was in a DHS vehicle that can repulse RPG attacks, because he was hit with everything, multiple attackers in disguises. This was to send a message to AMLO, who is pivoting towards the United States because he doesn't want any part of China. China dominates Pemex, but a lot of people don't know that's their national oil company. They built the warm water ports along northern Mexico. China killed Mexico and NAFTA. And AMLO's looking at this and said, you know what? Trump is a lot better option right now. And when he started making that noise, this is when it started. Now, Sam contacted me yesterday and said something happened down there he has never seen. AMLO had a press conference surrounded by 30 Mexican Marines. In other words, a platoon of Marines protecting him.
That is a big statement. That is a big statement by AMLO.
Well, Sam followed up this morning with another note, and I haven't got to dissect the whole thing yet, so I just was reading it when we went on air, but Sam said Mexico's slipping into the possibility of a civil war.
Well, that would play out from my understanding, because, you know, the big problem with the civil war down in Mexico would be immigration at our border and the flooding of people coming across the border. And thank goodness for the wall, because the wall would serve as a great barrier against the budding hordes. And, of course, where the choke points are can be very easily protected and guarded. But that's one of the reasons I think Donald Trump and his foresight. We had a couple of individuals on our radio program about a year ago when all the caravans were coming forward and stuff. And this individual is very, very well connected, and even connected to AMLO. And he was talking about the fact that it wouldn't take much by the cartels to throw a wrench into all of Mexico by way of certain terrorist activities. And you may remember they had these a system failure with some of the gasoline provisions that were coming into Mexico City pipelines and so on. And those were all set. There were detonations and explosions, and they were set off by the cartels. And it was really, he was saying at the time, a beta test to see how the Mexican government would respond. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you cut off all the oil supplies and gas supplies for refined gasoline to Mexico City, you're going to throw that place into chaos within 24 hours. And then you have a real revolution, and then you'd have a mass, what are you going to do? You're going to have the same thing that what we had in the Middle East, which we had refugees, you know, going north into Europe. And of course, look what they've done with that. Now, that would be a problem for the United States of America. And of course, that was why Trump was pressing so hard to build the wall to deflect some of that. And hopefully we'll have most of that wall built by this time next year. But this is a very strong possibility, Dave, that you would have a civil war similar to what my guest was saying. He's asked me not to say his name, his real name. But he's been spot on so far, which totally agrees with what you're seeing and what you're hearing right now.
Well, I get reports from inside Pemex. I have a couple sources there that write to me on a regular basis. And the CHICOMs are there constantly. He said they dominate our oil industry. So anything that comes out of the cartels, we have to consider the source to be Communist China.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, they're working in coordination with one another. We know that. And, of course, this is, again, you have Nancy Pelosi, you have Dianne Feinstein. You know, there's the connect the dot right there, just because you have the communists on one side and you got the cartels on the other. She panders to the cartels, and I'm talking about Pelosi. And, of course, the pandering by Richard Blum with the connections with the Chinese and his little activities. This is something that just goes without saying that this is what happens.
Well, I wrote an article this morning. It's up on thecommonsenseshow.com, and it was 50 things I would do if I was president for a day. And I didn't even scratch the surface. But one of the things that I said that I would do was I would prosecute all of these leaders in the Democratic Party for sedition and probably treason.
Right.
And you know, the other thing, you know who else needs to be prosecuted? If you're, say, Pepsi, and you're giving millions of dollars to a group that is in the streets, robbing people, burning down buildings, and committing murder against 8-year-old kids in Atlanta, then you should be prosecuted under RICO, racketeering laws.
Yes, absolutely.
So those 129 corporations that thought it was a good idea to give money to these groups, they need to be held accountable for what they're supporting.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's another thing. I think and I'm not going to speak for Bill Barr, but, you know, in that interview that he had with Brett Baer, it was Maria Bartiromo, he spoke of that sort of stuff going on and about these. This is really corporate fascism. People might not understand Benito Mussolini, who, of course, was idolized by Adolf Hitler. And, of course, Adolf Hitler is the king. When you think of socialism, you have to think of Adolf Hitler. But one of his major inspirations was somebody who was a great fascist, and that was Benito Mussolini. And so that's where this comes in. You have all these high-powered corporations that have billions upon billions of dollars, and it's fascist, corporate fascism, which is being foisted upon the American people right now. A classic example would be the NFL. Would be Nike, would be, of course, what's going on with the auto people, you know. These are the kind of corporate things that are trying to push an agenda and push us towards China, really. And, of course, if they're beholding to the cartels in some way, towards that.
Well, it's just a matter of time. And I would say TikTok.
Yeah.
And what we know about TikTok is everything you do on TikTok goes to Beijing now.
Well, and, you know, people go on the Zoom thing. And, you know, I got a briefing on Zoom. Must have been about a month and a half ago. Because we use Zoom, too, you know. And I had heard that they spy on you in Zoom because it's Chinese. And then I stopped using it for the most part. We went to another vendor for the video connections and stuff like that, which we will continue to do. And when I got the briefing, I said, that's it. We're no more Zoom for you. So we've pulled the plug completely on Zoom, primarily because what I found out is they'll have one or two people for every Zoom meeting, no matter where it is. They'll be watching and red flagging your meetings and identifying, facial recognition, mind you, everybody that comes on those meetings. So I said, that's it for me. No more will New California do a Zoom meeting. It's done. We canceled our everything.
Is it the Zoom surveillance, is that directly out of China, or is it local, or what? How do
directly
they do it?
Out of it go all goes through China. Every Zoom meeting goes through China.
That explains a lot, because one of the things that we're seeing arise out of Chinese legislation now is not just what they're doing to Hong Kong, where they can have no-knock searches and no warrant searches. But also, too, the Chinese passed a law that says if you criticize Chinese law and you can be a foreign national in a foreign country, you're guilty of violating Chinese law and subject to punishment. This speaks to their imperialistic plans for the future, and they're going to come and get you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So if you are saying something bad about China and they're recording it, They're coming for you once they get here. That's the mentality. Now, whether or not they can pull that one off, as you know, China has lots of problems. China has lots of economic problems, and they have lots of problems with infighting right now with Xi Jinping. And the military leaders, as I was briefed the other day, Sunday, that Xi has quite a few problems. One of them, his military commanders have told him in a meeting straight up with all the other communist leaders that it wouldn't be a good idea to go through and have a war right now because they're not ready for it. The military said that, which the military people were escorted out of the meeting from what I understand. But it's very telling that someone who is the biggest general that they have would make that comment to Xi in front of other communist leaders, which, by the way, embarrassed Xi enormously. So his stability in the communist system is somewhat in doubt right now. Plus, the big factor going on, well, two other big factors. One, their economy is in the tank, primarily because of their own mismanagement, but also the tariffs and everything like that. The United States is pushing back. So are the other countries of the world. They're putting a lot of pressure on India, Pakistan. That's why India and Pakistan are just about ready to go to a kinetic war with China right now. We have 10,000 troops over in India to bolster that. But the other part of it is now we have the Three Gorges Dam situation in China, which is the largest dam in the world. And they seem to have a problem with the dam. Here we go again, Orville Dam. Anybody? That's part deux for Orville Dam. But this one is a big
Orville
Dam,
Chinese takeout style. Yeah,
yeah.
But this is weather wars from the United States. You can count on that. This is retribution for the Wuhan flu. And I'm going to tell you something. It's kind of interesting. I'm not so sure war is not coming from our end. And I'll tell you why. If you look at the comments of Peter Navarro, who's the head of trade and manufacturing for President Trump, he came out, oh, man, he just let it fly. He said they released this, and he said they didn't tell anybody. It has to be intentional. They've wrecked our economy. And he went on to say, hey, they banned domestic travel, but they didn't stop international travel to the United States. Oh, he went off. And this is a Trump administration official providing justification for retribution against China.
Well, and, Peter Navarro's right. This was a deliberate act. In fact, if you take a look at this whole COVID virus thing and doing a lot of research in it, you know that this is something that's been years in the making. And it has involved China from the very early on, since the 90s. That's where the footprint all goes. And I think at the end of the day, their intelligence, which, we reflect a lot of what we have found out and so on through our own sources, you'll see the footprint and fingerprints of the Chinese all over this. Plus, you also have the cartels all over this. Plus, you have a lot of other organizations in the United States all over it, which is an internal thing for the president to be struggling with right now. Are these internal organizations that have now empowered themselves as radical revolutionaries such as Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all these other groups out there that are professing
war. It's time to call it what it is here, okay? First of all, Antifa is what it always has been, a terrorist organization. Black Lives Matter, the name is deceptive. Black lives do indeed matter, particularly the five black children that were killed in gang violence, Antifa, Black Lives Matter.
Aborted babies, aborted black babies.
There
by
you
the
go.
Way.
That's the number one target. But it even gets worse, Paul. When you look at the term Black Lives Matter, they're capitalizing on the fact that you can't criticize it because then you're a racist. No, I'm saying this. Black lives and all lives matter. We're all God's children. Now, having said that, the NAACP, which I don't always agree with, okay, that's a civil rights organization. This organization here is not a civil rights organization. It's self-empowered vigilantism that's resorting to street violence, tearing down public monuments without the civilian authority to do so, and trying to undermine our legal system. They're sponsoring the illegal occupation of certain cities, certain portions of cities in America. You know, the former city that we used to call Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Now Chaz, yeah. Chop, or whatever they are, chop suey, you know, Chinese style. BLM is receiving weapons from China. That there was intercept of firing pin parts that would convert regular rifles to automatic weapons in Louisville, 10,800 parts. And I have a report from a DHS official said that is true, and it's going on all over the country. So, and you know what's interesting is we're acquiescing in our social institutions. We know the NBA is controlled by Communist China because they have 80 million viewers. They dwarf the American NBA viewing audience. And so what is the NBA doing? They're putting Black Lives Matter on all their basketball courts. I don't have any problem with the sentiment, Black Lives Matter. In fact, I support it, the sentiment of itself. But what happens to all the other lives? What about the other 85% of the country? Do they not matter? I mean, what the NBA is doing is exclusionary, and it's reverse racism.
Well, of course, they're going to pander to China also, the NBA. We all know that. And, of course, they've had their incidents. And Nike, of course, there's another corporate fascist organization, the Colin Kaepernick affair. They're connected up with the Obamas and that sort of thing. They are the corporate fascists. They're behind so much that's going on here in this country now. You know, when you start lining up, you know, a lot of these corporations, Pepsi as an example, Frito-Lay, all these companies that are starting to line up with Black Lives Matter, which, by the way, is turned into a fabulous fundraiser for the Democrats. And this has all been documented. You've got the relationship with George Soros and his network of organizations, which are basically using this Black Lives Matter as a fundraiser to fund the Democratic Party against Donald Trump. It's amazing.
I know. It's amazing. But see, everyone's afraid to criticize an organization that would have a name, Black Lives Matter, on it. But I watched a video yesterday on YouTube, and it was a man who was heavily armed. And he walks up to, and he's black, and he's part of Black Lives Matter, and he said so himself on tape. He walks up to a car driven by a white man and robbed him at gunpoint, saying this is reparations for centuries of slavery. And he says, your ancestors are guilty. I mean, this is the height of lawlessness. It truly is.
Well, the other height of it is you had a young man, a 12-year-old kid who was in, someplace in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and he was breakdancing with outside of his school out on the street. They was doing some sort of things, and a guy drives up, gets out of his car, and comes up and just cold cocks this 12-year-old kid. It's a white kid, and of course gets in a car and takes off. Then you have this 6-year-old. That was walking with her dad, a black man, in the Bronx, and a guy jumps out of the car and shoots him. And then, of course, you have the 8-year-old in Atlanta who was shot by another black man. I mean, what's wrong with that picture? I mean, that's
it doesn't fit the narrative, and that's why the mainstream media is not talking about it.
That's
why President Trump's press secretary called out the media.
Exactly.
We're not talking about. There was a silver lining in the attack on that 12-year-old kid. There can be such a thing. When the kid was dancing, if you noticed, his companions were all black.
That's correct.
And when he was sent to the ground, his friends came to his rescue. Black people helping a white person that was a victim of a violent crime. That's a silver lining there. And I looked at that and I said, see, most people are good people. Most people don't like what's going on. You know, Paul, we all have friends from different races. And when I talk to my black friends about this, they say things like, well, some of the police policies do need review, and we need to look at a few other things. But they don't in any way support the extremism that's being supported by major American corporations now.
Yeah.
I can't find a black person that tells me that what they're seeing on TV is okay. Because they're reasonable people. These people, you know, Americans are reasonable.
Yeah, Americans are Americans.
They will not tolerate lawlessness, and it really doesn't matter what side of the racial fence they come from.
You know, when I have the discussion of, you know, I have this often about the discussion about abortion, and, you know, we always get into what's happening in New York. And of course, there's been these years where the abortions of black children, babies, will surpass the number of live births of black babies. And, you know, when I start talking about this whole notion of why, you know, why is it just black babies and so on, I say, look, we cannot look at this as, quote, black babies. These abortions are aborting Americans.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's not about color. These are Americans that are being aborted.
I know. It is. It's a human rights issue. This is not a racial issue any longer. It's a human rights issue. It's a human abuse issue. You know, there's another aspect last night, and I want to give credit to where credit is due. Before we went to bed last night, we turned on Fox to catch the latest insanity. And I got to give Hannity credit. He went through a racial history of the Democratic Party, starting with who founded the KKK, a Democrat. Who blocked James Meredith admittance into the University of Alabama by standing in the doorway? Governor Wallace, right. A Democrat. And they went through all these examples. And, of course, they got into Biden's comments, which the latest was, well, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And I'm thinking, you know, the Democrats are the biggest racists, the biggest bigots that are out there. And for decades, they have promised black people the world. Equality, everything, and they've delivered just the opposite. Violent cities where it's not safe to live.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, this business, and I'm going to get back into this because this is your neck of the woods, basically, and this is the initiative now. What they're trying to do is put this initiative on the ballot as an initiative. It's called CalEx at the California Independence Plebiscite of 2024. And in this, it's got some descriptors about what it is and who's filed it. And, of course, it's Marcus Ruiz Evans, president of Yes California Independence Program, which he's desperately trying to get into new California stuff, which is kind of interesting. That's another little thing. The CalExit Independence Plebiscite of 2024, and this has been put up and it's been received. An initiative coordinator, Attorney General's office, received it, Javier Becerra, just last Friday. July 3rd, 2020. So here it is, and here's the document. And I'm reading from the document right now so people can understand what this is calling for. CalExit, it says the act to add Article 6 to Chapter 1 of Division 1 of Title 1 of the Government Code relating to the establishment of a commission of inquiry on California sovereignty and independence from the United States of America, and Division 22 to the Elections Code relating to independence plebiscite. All right, the people of the state of California do enact as follows. They goes through this whole thing. The California Commission, they want to do Article 6, California Commission on National Sovereignty. So they want to establish a commission. Now, this is the purpose and function. The purpose and function of the commission, as it stated, is to prepare a complete public report on California sovereignty and independence from the United States of America and to specifically ascertain, evaluate, and report on the current ability of the state of California to govern itself independently should the need arise due to an unforeseen collapse of the United States government, open rebellion, revolution, or in the event of civil war. Ascertain, evaluate, and report on the future economic and political viability of California as an independent country. Study, evaluate, and report on the global use of plebiscites as a peaceful means of obtaining independence. Of course, that's a slap in the face of the Declaration of Independence. Analyze and report to the public on its findings, conclusions, and so on. It's interesting. This is what the commission would be made of. One member shall be appointed by the governor, who shall serve as chairman. Two members will be appointed by the Secretary of State, Javier Becerra. And then it says two members will be appointed by the State Assembly, members by the State Senate. Five members will be elected in a statewide election. Right. Anyway, so you can get into this whole thing. You also have a non-governmental appointee, and an individual appointed an elected commission may not be blah, blah, blah. So the qualifications. So this is, they're starting the ball rolling to make California its own country. There you go.
Yeah. I know.
There it is.
I know. And they're just waiting for the dam to break in Oroville to bring the UN in to facilitate it, too.
Sure.
That's what I actually think the trigger event's going to be. Paul, I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah, you got to go.
But I'll just say this. Trump is doing a masterful job of trying to thwart a potential Red Dawn invasion led by China and Central and South American forces. He has turned El Salvador into an armed camp that's totally loyal to us. He's turning AMLO, and the Chinese need Mexico to facilitate this invasion. And also he took Bolton to task. When he brought Bolton in to put troops in Colombia, Bolton mistakenly thought we were going to invade Venezuela. And when Trump was done using Bolton's negotiation ability, he fired him. And those troops now guard the Darien Gap, which is a narrow gap that's difficult to traverse, that separates Central and South America, so it would keep from an adjoining of South and Central American forces. Long story short, Trump is doing a good job of thwarting a potential Red Dawn invasion by China.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot more to that story, as you know, and as everybody else probably suspects, that it would take us hours to talk this through, people, which we've done, you know. They've heard it all, and it's still all coming, though. We still have to be on our feet. Dave, thank you very much. How can we get a hold of you, Dave?
The website is thecommonsenseshow.com, and the YouTube, where I make 10 videos a day, is The Common Sense Show also. And watch out for our podcast. They're growing by leaps and bounds. Same name.
Awesome. Dave, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, Dave Hodges, Common Sense Show with us. He had to run for time because he's got vacation to do, I guess, you know. I wonder what that's like. What would a vacation be? Anyway, so this is what's happening in the new California movement, is that we're monitoring what's going on now with CalExit, which we knew was going to come. Here it is. We've got all the documentation. We'll be putting it up on the Agenda 21 radio site and also newcaliforniastate.com and NCS51, both of those sites right there you can get into. I want to also say that if you're in the Orange County area, or if you're in Riverside, San Diego, San Bernardino, and L.A. counties, and all throughout Orange County, we're having a wonderful, fabulous, beautiful town hall that'll be tomorrow. And if you want information on that, what you need to do is go to, just type in bear at BEAR, like, you know, the golden bear, the omnipotent golden bear that we have, the bear, BEAR at NCS51.com. That's bear at NCS51.com. And you can get all your news and information about that from us. We'll send you some more information, but we must have your email address and phone number. That would really be nice if we can do that. So leave that, and we'll get in touch with you. Give you all the directions. There's a sign-up thing you fill out, and we'll have you registered and all that stuff. You can walk in. That would be nice if you want to do that to the location. You have to get the address off the it's in Orange, California, so it's not too far from those locations, actually. So it's going to be a wonderful night and evening. If you want to find out about the new California state movement, what's going on, where we're at today, and what's going on, what's going forward, is that you'll be able to have access to that. Anyway, also check out the website, because especially tomorrow, because we should be able to get contracts and things like that in order today for our speakers for the convention coming up. We'll be putting that stuff out tomorrow, actually by tomorrow, that where you can get tickets. It won't be completely priced out, because we always put out for a week or two in advance reduced prices for the tickets for the convention. So you might want to, when you think about convention or convention, and if you're not involved in the New California State Movement, then you can pick up information on how to become involved, but also you can buy a ticket, and you can be not a delegate, but you can actually be one of what we call the gallery, and go through our training and learning and all that stuff that happens, and also enjoy the speakers that we have, which is going to be pretty awesome. A little reminder, programming-wise, Thursday, we're going to be having Peggy Hall with us. Yeah, it's going to be quite the show. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
I'm going to do what I can do through executive action.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Pleasant and the Agenda 21 Show.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio, and for those of you that don't know, the rotunda in the state capitol is being changed. Yes, they're taking out Queen Isabella and Christopher Columbus in the state capitol rotunda. The cancel culture has arrived. Here we go.
At 8:04, crews are working to remove a statue of Christopher Columbus from the state capitol.
KCR3's Brian Hickey is live out there at the capitol, and they started this hours ago, Brian.
They did. It was about 4 o'clock this morning when the crews first arrived here at the state capitol. And now behind me, you can see Christopher Columbus and the Queen Isabella statue now out of the building. They are now sitting effectively out on the steps outside here on the west steps of the capitol. The statue has now been pulled from the rotunda, and the crews here have now shorted up on some wooden blocks. And it looks like they're preparing to bring a crane in position. That crane will then reach in between the pillars here at the capitol and lift that statue onto a truck where it will be hauled away to an undisclosed location. This is the statue called Columbus Last Appeal to Queen Isabella. It's been here in the rotunda since 1883. It was crafted in Italy and was privately commissioned. Then it was sold, and that statue eventually was donated to the state, where it's been here in the rotunda since 1883. But amid recent public outcry, the assembly leadership decided that that Columbus, being a deeply polarizing historical figure, had no place here in the Capitol, and that is why it is now today being removed. We don't know where it's going. In fact, I did ask, and they said it's going to
the cancel culture strikes again, destroying American history. And of course, we haven't been real positive about that particular statue because it might represent something else. And I think they fear this. the recognition of a monarchy. And what are we establishing right now in California? A monarch. Stay with us. Stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.